Duc Fuqua has introduced several innovations to its program, and we're going to learn about them today from its Associate Dean of Admissions. Tune in. Welcome to the 335th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the host of this podcast and the founder of Accepted. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result, you get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. It gives me great pleasure to welcome back to Admissions Straight Talk, Sherry Hubert, Associate Dean of Admissions at the Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. Sherry earned her bachelor's at Dartmouth and her MBA at Harvard Business School. She worked at several elite companies and in 2009 became the director of recruitment for the Peace Corps. In 2012, she returned to the MBA world when she became the Associate Dean of MBA Admissions for Georgetown McDonough. She joined Duc Fuqua as Associate Dean of Admissions in October 2017, almost exactly 2 years ago. Sherry, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Oh, thanks so much, Linda. It's so great to be back. I can't believe it's been 2 years, right?
I was thinking the exact same thing. I can't believe it's 2 years, right? But I'm so pleased that you can join us today.
Yeah, a lot has happened within the 2 years, so I'm excited to be able to share that with your audience.
Mm-hmm. Great. So Fuqua recently announced a curriculum redesign with three main changes or three main goals. What are they and how will this affect the class of entering, rather, in 2020? And class of 2022.
Sure, yeah. So, you know, at Fuqua, we're continuously trying to look for ways to remain relevant, right, as well as respond to industry needs and our students' needs. And, you know, with this particular, in the type of landscape that we find ourselves in from a business perspective, it's much more challenging environment for business. There are more polarizing kinds of issues that leaders have to contend with around difference and the openness to difference. And so we really found after, you know, talking to our students and our alumni in terms of their needs, really a need for greater emphasis on how do you develop yourself as a leader so that you're able to move an entire team or an organization towards a common purpose in light of some of the more challenging aspects of business today. And in order to do that, what we thought was, you know, we, you know, it's been long a part of Fuqua in terms of Team Fuqua and being able to draw the strengths in others. It's always been a part of our culture. We've always been focused on innovation, but we really wanted to be very intentional about developing those skill sets within our students and equipping them so that they have these new types of leadership skill sets. And so there are three main themes. We decided to enhance our curriculum in order to be very intentional about it. There are three main themes that we've built courses around, both at the very beginning of their experience when they come in as a student, as well as towards the end of their first year. The three themes really focus around leadership and common purpose, entrepreneurship as a mindset, and then the third topic is on technology and business in the context of society. Those three themes are woven into what we call our Summer Institute. So that was formerly known as the Global Institute, but it's really at the time right after orientation, the entire incoming class in our daytime program comes together for a three-week course. It really is the beginning of their MBA experience. It provides a level setting experience, gives them a taste of what they're going to be experiencing throughout their core. And there are three primary courses that we will be introducing them to. One is called Leadership Ethics and Organizations. And it's always LEO, we call it for short. It's always been a part of that institute, that first summer experience. We are enhancing that now again with more curriculum around this notion of leadership and common purpose. And then the second course really will center around entrepreneurship and, you know, lifelong entrepreneurship, right? And the thinking around this was a result of, if you think about entrepreneurship over your lifetime, many of our alumni actually don't start businesses until well into their careers.
Right.
And so it's not just about starting a business coming out of business school, but how do you build those building blocks and introduce people to those building blocks of what it takes to start a business even early on. We also really believe that entrepreneurship is a mindset, right? These the characteristics and skills that an entrepreneur has, this owner mentality is something that our students can really benefit from regardless of the type of organization that they join. It could be an established organization or it could be a startup. But regardless of what it is, we need leadership that goes into an organization and has this owner mentality, thinks like an owner, doesn't just rent the space, but really works in partnership with leadership and organizations and teams to make a difference.
Could you describe for a moment the entrepreneurship mindset? I mean, define it a little bit.
So
part of it is being an owner. I got that part, but.
Right. So it's really this notion of thinking about, you know, resiliency and innovation and creativity and, how do you create that kind of a spirit within an individual, regardless of, and in your organization and on your teams, regardless of the type of institutions that you're a part of, right? And so you can, business is very complex, right? There are huge issues that we didn't necessarily have to contend with years ago that, technology-driven transformation that our leaders have to now contend with. And so if you think about the skill sets of someone who goes into an organization and from scratch creates new ideas, and mobilize teams, has resiliency, thinks like they really own the, owning the idea, owning the problems, the good and the bad. Those are the kinds of skill sets that we think make for good leadership, regardless of the type of organization you go into. It's not just about entrepreneur, doesn't just mean you're going to start up a company. You can have an entrepreneurial mindset even within an established organization. And, leaders and organizations, they look for talent probably that have much more of this entrepreneurial mindset coming into their institutions, right? As opposed to people who just think they're going to come for a couple of years, not really owning the issues and the problems and investing in the business in the way that an entrepreneur would, right? If you own that yourself, if your sweat equity is going into your own startup, your mindset is a very different way of thinking in terms of how you conduct business and the types of investment you make and commitment that you make to the organization.
I think it's also an openness to opportunity. It's an openness to opportunity as opposed to just kind of repeat, doing what you're assigned or fulfilling your tasks and responsibilities.
Taking initiative. And so that's the second course. And then the third course really is focused around, again, given that technology really is pervasive both in our personal lives and our professional lives, there's no shortage of data and people to kind of analyze the data, right? What's in short supply is really leadership around how do you take the information and make the right types of decisions, make informed decisions. And so we're really thinking about how do we build leaders that understand that technology will transform the way in which we work, the types of businesses that we're a part of, but do it in a way that also does it from an ethical perspective. It doesn't leave individual populations and communities behind, right? And there should be a way to create innovation and be innovative, leveraging technology without necessarily not having opportunity created for society at the same time. And so this particular course really helps to have our students understand the importance of technology, but doing it in a way that's ethical, managing technology, but doing it in a way that's ethical, but also equipping them with the types of situations that they may encounter. It doesn't give them the answers, but it creates these scenarios where they can think through how would they manage or how would they lead, what kinds of decisions would they make if they were in this situation as a leader, hard decisions.
So if I were to try and summarize and make sure I understand what the three main changes are, one is more effective communications. That would be, collaboration, more effective communication, which a leader definitely requires. I mean, it's mandatory. The second one would be this entrepreneurial ownership mindset. And the third one would be ethical and effective use of data.
Or technology
and data, and the data that technology produces, basically what we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, so they start off with that, those courses, those then get woven in throughout their core and through electives. But then before they go off to their summer internship, we bring them back together in a course, kind of a capstone course called, and it's still allows them to now regroup and think about leadership and, towards a common purpose in a divided world, right? But at this point in the game, right, it's been a full year. They're about to embark on their internships. There's more trust built within their community as students. And so we think that they're going to have even more courageous conversations, right? So it's taking that concept and notion of how do you mobilize toward teams towards a common purpose amongst difference to the next level, because you need to have these courageous conversations. And so readdressing that issue at the end of their first year, one will allow them hopefully to be more effective when they go out in their internships and they go into these organizations and they're having to interact with teams of people that they haven't met, or they're having to demonstrate an impact very quickly, right? Hopefully they're going to be much more effective in being able to do that in a way that we think demonstrates our culture, right? So, you know, you've heard Bill, our dean, talk about the kind of leader that we believe is needed is the leader, not just smart and empathetic, but also decent, right? And so, you know, woven into this course and some of our common purpose course is really not just being an effective leader from a communication perspective, but also being an effective leader in terms of your decency, right? Thinking about the people that you are put in, having to manage, and making sure that their voices are heard, that their strengths are drawn out so that they can contribute fully and wholeheartedly.
It seems like, you know, one of the, to me personally, it's nothing to do with admissions, one of the most tragic aspects of societal change in the last, few decades has been the loss of the ability to disagree agreeably. And I think that's crucial in order for leaders to have input from a variety of perspectives. People have to feel like they're not going to be put down, have their, you know, name called, attacked.
That's right.
If they state an opinion that isn't popular or isn't mainstream. Now, from the press releases that I saw about the changes in the curriculum, that seemed to be part of it. Am I wrong? Or
no, you're absolutely right. Right. When we think about the complexity of business, it's really centered around the polarization that happens in the workforce many times, right?
Right. It's a reflection of society. That, the workforce is
right,
society.
Exactly. Yeah. Say, that is a function of what's happening in society as well. And so, you know, from an admissions perspective, we're of course looking for people who have that potential to understand and really embrace diversity and difference. But then we also know that it's not enough to talk about it, but we really need to equip our students with the skills and abilities to navigate that. And so that's really why we said, you know what, let's create courses that really focus on some of the larger contextual problems and challenges that are happening around business and kind of businesses' ability or inability to really have a positive impact on society, right? And then let's then also make sure that our students are equipped, knowing that they're going to go back into these organizations having to navigate these hard strategic business decisions, but also even more so having to manage diverse teams in order to accomplish a common goal, right? A common organizational goal.
Right. Now let's move to another change that I've been reading about at Duke Fouquet, and that is the accelerated MBA program. How is that going to work and who is it for?
Yeah, sure. So the accelerated MBA program is a program that I think there's a couple of different benefits, right? So the program itself is a one-year MBA specifically for individuals who already have a master's in management or either a master's of management studies degree from Fuqua or who have a master's in management degree or equivalent from another institution. And so it really is this notion of there are individuals who, you know, have studied, develop the core competencies around business in their particular master's program, but are still looking for that additional leadership capability, credentialing, the MBA, right, to further advance their careers, but want to do so in a way that's accelerated, which makes sense. Not everybody has the capability or interest even in taking 2 years out of the workforce. And some people want to really continue down the path that they're continuing, but they want the additional credentialing or skill development. And so this accelerated option, we think, will be beneficial to our alumni of our Master's of Management Studies program who have essentially taken much of our core during their 10-month program, have work experience now, right, under their foot, and now want to take their career to the next level. And so this is a great option. It also helps us demonstrate really our commitment to lifelong learning for our alumni. So we offer also, you know, free exec education courses for our alumni. And this is another offering now sure. that our alumni can take advantage of. But we also know that, you know, looking globally, the master's in management degree is a much more widespread degree in Europe and other right. places around the right. world. And so we're looking at that also in terms of, you know, are there individuals who have a master's in management, but also now want to layer on the MBA within, you know, a U.S. MBA degree as and work in the U.S. And so this is a great option because it provides that accelerated opportunity to do so. Sure. You know, great investment for them, given that they've already invested in their master's in management degree earlier. You had mentioned, you know, it is a degree, though, it's kind of unique from other accelerated MBA programs in that you do need to have already a master's in management. And it's not, it can't be a master's of accounting or master's of marketing. It really is kind of a...
Just the management.
That's right.
And what about a BBA?
Right. So, you know, BBAs, if you have only a business, undergraduate business degree, you would not qualify for it. You would need an additional master's in management degree from another institution or our institution in order to really qualify. And the reason is because the program essentially is a part of our daytime MBA program, but these individuals have already taken the core courses, right, that are required for our daytime MBA program, but that fulfill their master's of management degree. And so what allows them to do is to come into our daytime MBA program and really take advantage of the electives and go deeper in those electives and for the year and fulfill their degree requirements in 1 year.
And when would they start in the calendar? When would they start the program?
So they start. Yep, they start with the incoming daytime individuals. They still are taking part in the summer institute in the new mm-hmm. curriculum that I was telling you about. But what they don't do once our daytime MBA students would start their core curriculum, these, you know, our accelerated MBA students are now taking elective courses with the second year students, right?
So there's no internship. There's no internship with the.
Exactly. So again, it's the kind of degree where, and that's another reason why this is a degree where the individuals should look very similar to the daytime MBA students, right? They have, you know, on average 5.5 years of work experience. Yeah. They are in careers or functions where they've been able to do well in. And so it's not as if they may not want to take advantage of and change companies, but they don't need the internship in order to do it, right? So their requisite business experience with the degree would allow them to be competitive in a full-time job market, you know, recruitment.
Do you anticipate any of them doing the internship following the MBA, like the summer after the year or not? Somewhere in your programs do have that.
Yes, yeah, so yeah. 1 year MBA programs, not at Cuba. But we anticipate them still, you know, either going back into their current company. Maybe it is a new company, but they're only changing functions, right? Or they're changing industry and they're really leveraging that prior work experience. It's probably not for someone who needs the internship to do a full scale change in career.
Got it.
There really wouldn't be, tons of resources to be able to support someone doing an internship after having graduated, right? I mean, really, they would be participating in the full-time job search process that every other second-year MBA student does.
Got it.
They'd be on the same timeline. Yeah.
All right. Understood. All right. Great. It sounds like a really wonderful opportunity. Wasn't Duke the first master's in management program in the U.S.? One year master's in management, was it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not certain.
I think so. I mean, I'm not positive, but that's what I remember. You can ask.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Duke is extending the MSTEM track from the MMS program to the MBA. Can you describe that track? And is now the MBA, the participants in the MSTEM track in the MBA, is that going to be a STEM certified program for visa purposes?
Okay, so I think you had said it the other way around. So we had the...
I got it backwards. Right.
The STEM in MBA. And we were one of the first top programs to have a STEM designation as part of our daytime MBA. Now other schools have followed suit. But we've actually now translated that opportunity to our MMS, our Masters of Management Studies program, that has a STEM track.
Mm-hmm.
And that's new for this year. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, there's great benefit from a curricular perspective, given the shift in interest in the tech sector careers and, the types of careers that our MMS students are going into are very kind of data driven, regardless of the industry and the function. And so it made sense curricularly, but it also helps them be more competitive and prepared regardless of the type of career that they go into. And it does provide the additional STEM benefit for those who are international students. It's actually kind of logical because our Masters of Quantitative Management and Business Analytics degree program, which is now in the third year, the entire degree is STEM certified. Right. And then because we had great success in our daytime MBA in terms of the STEM track, it definitely made sense to then make sure that our MMS students also could benefit from that. Now, it's our Masters of Management Studies in Foundations of Business, so the program that is here on Durham's campus. We also have a Masters of Management Studies program in relationship with our Kunshan University partners. And for those individuals, they can participate in the electives, the data analytical electives, so they can be skilled up, but they wouldn't qualify for the additional STEM OPT. For those who are participating in our Foundations of Business, which is here on Durham's campus, it's a 10-month program. The entire program is all core. And so what we needed to do was create electives that were data analytic in nature, but do it in a way that we'd still be able to allow the student to graduate in 10 months. So the way in which it will work out is students will have the option to elect into three electives. One's a short kind of programming elective where they'll get taught R programming language. Another is a technology and business course. And then one's a business analytics course. And they would take them either in the summer, as well as every Wednesday, our school doesn't have classes. And so we were able to provide opportunities for them to take those electives on Wednesdays, as well as a short duration during the summer. And then we also have a spring version. And so they would take these three electives. There's no additional application, but there is an additional cost or additional fee to those electives. So it's $2,000 per elective. They take the three electives, and that satisfies the STEM qualification. And then they qualify for OPT if they then go into a career that is STEM qualifying. And so that's how they get the additional 2 years of OPT benefit.
So this gives them the opportunity to stay in the U.S. in terms of visa, and also gives them fantastic skills.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. Right. Yeah. So folks in our Masters of Management Studies program who are part of the Duke Kunshan University, they can take the courses because, again, this, like you said, it's still great preparation for any career that you would go where you need to leverage data analytics, but they just wouldn't get the OPT.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Now, let's... Yeah. Are there any other major changes? I mean, these are pretty big, okay? Curriculum change, this new track, the new program, the accelerated MBA. Are there any other changes that you want to highlight at this point?
No, at this point, I think those are the biggest ones that, you know, are really topical right now. You know, just overall, we'll continue to be looking at, you know, ways in which we can make sure that we remain relevant. You'll probably continue to see new courses popping up that really leverage, entrepreneurship and interdisciplinary kind of focus. As we look at, for instance, our Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation at Fuqua is partnering even more heavily with Duke University's Innovation and Entrepreneurship Center to create new types of courses for our MBAs and our students around health sector entrepreneurship and new ventures and things like that. So I think you'll continue to see those types of interdisciplinary arrangements. And you'll probably also start to see us look at different ways to deliver content in the classroom, using and leveraging more technology as well. And that's across our programs, either online or flipped classes, hybrid, that kind of thing.
Okay. Now, let's step back a little bit, and not just from the new stuff. What do you wish as admissions dean, what do you wish more people knew about Duke Fuqua?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I feel like, you know, unless you're able to come here and visit us or you've really gotten to know our community, I think people have a misconception about Fuqua and our existence here in Durham. And I feel like for students who are pursuing their MBA, Durham is, you know, is a wonderful place, right? You get the best of both worlds. It's a community that is vibrant and growing. It's an American mid-sized town, great climate, inexpensive cost of living, but yet you're not compromising on access, right? So 60% of our daytime MBA graduates last year ended up on the West Coast or in, you know, mid-Atlantic Northeast. And that's not always well known. But yet, during their two-year experience, there's this wonderful community and supportive community. Durham itself, I think, is not as well understood and known. So, you know, Fuqua is actually, we boast that we're the only top 10 school in a top 10 ranked city. So U.S. News and World Reports just recently came out with, you know, the top best places to live. And Durham was ranked number 10 on that list. Oh. And so, you know, there's wonderful restaurants and food and culture. You know, we're right in the backyard of 150 multinational Fortune 100 companies. And so that allows our students this great training ground right behind, you know, right in their backyard to do experiential learning opportunities, consulting, practicums, internships, you know, you name it. We get access to great speakers and access to great kinds of practicums that allow our students to really kind of leverage their what they're learning in the classroom. And so I really feel like, so, you know, so there's not a great appreciation for that unless you can really come here. And so I think that's what I wish people would have a greater awareness of, is how wonderful Durham is, as well as Fuqua, and going to school and learning for 2 years in this kind of community can be wonderful.
Okay, great. Now, one of the most, to me, one of the most distinctive aspects of the Fuqua curriculum in terms is, one of the most distinctive opportunities that the Fuqua curriculum provides is its energy concentrations. I think there are two of them. Can you touch on those?
Sure. So, you know, we see that students, you know, they want to combine the tools that they're learning in business, as well as, you know, deploy them, and apply them in a context of solving challenges that are, you know, big global challenges. And energy and environmental sustainability are at the top of the list. And so the energy and environment concentration and the energy finance concentration really allow our students to develop kind of specialized expertise or go deeper in their knowledge base so that they're more equipped to then be competitive in the marketplace and to help companies, one, you know, work through or think through or lead through energy transition or help navigate environmental sustainability challenges within a corporation or help identify clean tech technologies from an investment perspective. The courses are very interdisciplinary in terms of how to fulfill those concentrations. It's very interdisciplinary as well as experiential, right? And so the courses can be taken, there's a mix of courses that satisfy those concentrations that can be taken at Fuqua as well as at the Nicholas School of Environment or the Law School, the Public Policy School. There are opportunities for you to get course credit towards that concentration where you're actually serving as a consultant to energy companies in the area. So again, very experiential. So a lot of different ways to satisfy the concentration, but it gives our students, you know, really, you know, much more subject matter expertise in these particular fields that are extremely popular right now. I would also say that, you know, the types of careers that our students are going into, really cool companies are hiring students who have this kind of skill set. Tesla recruits our students. SunPower, there's a Next Era Energy. From a sustainability perspective, we're finding students go into sustainability roles at places like Nike and Amazon and Facebook, Levi Strauss. You know, we have our center that's focused on energy in global development. But we also have a sector director in a career management center who also works with our students to help them identify companies and opportunities in this space. And then lastly, we have started to partner with a group of schools, about 17 MBA schools, and we're one of the lead partners, our students are. And they participate in a summit. It's called Climate Cap. It's a global MBA summit. And it's focused on climate, business, and capital. And it's really about how do we equip our students, prepare our students to take advantage, you know, to mitigate the risk, but also take advantage of opportunities that business can play within this context of climate change. We find that our students are really interested in, you know, how do they lead with business, you know, and leverage business, but from a forward-looking perspective, how do they make sure that they are thinking about social and environmental responsibility and taking that into account, because these corporations are actually being held more accountable as well. And so we're much more focused, our students are much more focused on that. And I think the last thing that really, it's not necessarily about the concentrations, but I think it reinforces why so many of our students are interested in this, is that we actually have a dual degree program with the Nicholas School of the Environment. It's one of the top dual degree programs in the world. It's a 3-year degree where you get your MBA and your master's in energy management, environmental management, sorry. We also have a MBA and master's of forestry dual degree with them, but the MBA and master's of environmental management degree is extremely popular. You basically start the Nicholas School, then your second year is at Fuqua, and then the third year is blended. And you come out with this fantastic degree where you really have, you know, very deep expertise and knowledge and thought leadership capability, but you also have that practical application opportunity as well. And so our students find that the dual degree program is extremely popular.
I'm really glad I asked, because I didn't even know about all these resources.
Fuqua is very rich. Mm-hmm. I would say
rich in this area.
Energy, environment, and then healthcare. Right. Obviously, they're two real big, from a sector perspective, big areas that we really have deep expertise in.
What do you see as the biggest challenge applicants face in presenting a compelling case for acceptance to Duke Fuqua?
So, you know, I think that for some applicants, depending on their background and their experiences, those who may have limited exposure in terms of where they lived or who they worked with, I think sometimes are challenged with how do I demonstrate my commitment to diversity, inclusion, and openness to it, right? And understanding if I, you know, self-prescribed and sheltered or just haven't had the exposure, I think that's challenging. And so, you know, we look for, encourage applicants to look for ways for them to either explain how they've worked on diverse teams or been a part of diverse teams. And, you know, our two essays are just primed to be able to talk about these types of experiences, right? Or at least demonstrate to us the potential, right? Where's the desire and the openness and interest in really wanting to be open to inclusion and diversity? So that's another way that they can demonstrate it if in their experiences it's a little limited. But, you know, sometimes that's hard for people who may not have the same level of exposure to a very global or a very diverse set of community members. But it's extremely important, right, to our, especially to our culture. It's something that in terms of how people experience Fuqua, the whole notion of being able to build and bring out the strengths in others and to really champion diversity and champion difference. Like, we really appreciate difference. At least we're those are the kind of students we want, who appreciate difference and don't back away from it, right? Who are willing to have those courageous conversations. And so for us, we're looking for that potential or demonstrated experience in that realm.
Well, it seems like it's especially with the new direction. Well, the direction, I say the enhanced direction, that it's not really new. It's kind of like you're building on the whole team concept, really,
exactly.
Where, you know, you want to encourage collaboration where there is difference. You have to have the difference, or then you're not going to be able to teach it.
Right.
It's just that simple.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like to talk to applicants about diversity as the three IDs of diversity. Okay. Hmm. The first is identity. You know, whatever it can be, ethnic, gender, sexual orientation, religion, politics, I'm whatever, right? That's identity.
Okay.
The second one is I did. Okay. I did whatever it is. It's unusual. And the third one is ideas. I am a different perspective. I'm the person who brings people together, who relieves tension on a meeting. I'm the one who can inject humor. I'm the one who looks at things from left field, and initially people think I'm nuts, and then they think, no, you know, that's a good idea. It kind of fits in with the entrepreneurial mindset, I think, too. But I think that sometimes applicants see diversity in strictly ethnic ways.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's much broader than that. And that's why I've come up with this approach.
Okay.
But would you agree with me, or am I being naive?
No, and so I use the term diversity, but I feel like within our community, we use inclusion a lot, engagement, okay. Inclusion. We have recently in admissions really honed in our ability to contribute, right, as a measure, right?
Okay.
And ability can contribute.
I would go with ideas.
Exactly. Ability to contribute can mean a lot of different things. And, yeah. But a lot of it sometimes is drawn based on your experiences, your identity, the intersection of your identity. And to me, that is not necessarily ethnic or race-based, right?
Right.
I think we have Fuqua Fridays, we have Fuqua Listens, we have our Diversity Week is coming up, actually, and we have an allyship panel. We have a bunch of different activities to try and allow people to demonstrate and show who they are and the various types of identities that they may affiliate with, right?
Yes, of course.
The intersection of those.
Yes.
So that people aren't pigeonholed, they're not labeled, right. but in a safe space, right? And so, some of it's intentional in our curriculum, right? That's why we bring people back at the end of their first year before they go off. They built a whole year of trust, hopefully, in their sections and with each other in their clubs. And so you can have a different level of conversation that does allow you to bring out your ideas and think about inclusion in a very different way than just on that superficial kind of ethnic and race. And that's not that's not important. It is, right?
No, but
we also know that there are people who feel left out.
Yeah.
Right. I believe diversity is inclusive. Right. Diversity is not about, everyone but white male perspectives. Right. It's inclusive of that. Right. In order to have it to be diverse, it has to be inclusive of that. And so we want to make sure that diversity doesn't mean this everyone but me. But I think people hear that term and they don't feel as though their voice is a part of that, or their perspective is a part of that. But I feel like it is absolutely inclusive of that, right?
Right, right, for sure. What do you see coming down the pike for the MBA program at Fuqua and for MBA education in general?
Well, that's where I was just, talking about continuing to remain relevant in terms of our the entrepreneurial offerings that we have, mm-hmm. and the digital and the differences in how we deliver content and curriculum. So I think right now we have a lot on our hands to get prepared for this incoming class, because the accelerated MBA, the daytime curricular changes, the MSIM, all of that's happening now. So the people that we're recruiting will be the beneficiaries of that. So I would say we have a lot on our plate for now. But I think, in terms of MBA education in general, I think you'll find that more flexibility, more shorter duration, people are going to be looking at the investment a lot harder. They're going to be looking at being out of their time away from the workforce. And what is that trade-off? I think that's going to be, I think the fact that we are, depending on how you define it, in the midst of, on the cusp of recession, inside of a recession, I think that will also play into how people think about their careers and the types of investments that they have the appetite to make,
Obviously the drumbeat of news about business schools the last few weeks has been somewhat negative, to put it mildly, in terms of application volume. And there was an article in the Wall Street Journal, is the MBA worth it? I'm sure you saw that. Mm-hmm. I actually think that if somebody determines they need an MBA, it's a great time to apply.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
It's like buying a house when the market's down.
Well, look, the way I'll address that is I do think that you will, because of the landscape, because the application went down, I think you're going to see, and you have, right, more schools reaching out, recruitment, increasing their levels of recruitment and outreach and communication that, hey, we're
financial
here.
Aid.
Yeah, well, welcoming, right? Financial aid, is that exactly? Now, I don't necessarily know that that can be translated into, oh, it's easier to get in, right? Because I do, I think that, you know, I know for at least for FUQA, we still are very much committed to making sure that our program is selective and that we are identifying those applicants and students who had that right mix of IQ, EQ, and DQ, right? Because at the end of the day,
what's a DQ?
Oh, okay, you don't know. So,
no, the data.
We talk about triple threat leadership here. And, okay. You know, because
IQ, EQ, I got. DQ is that data?
DQ is decency.
Oh, yes. Very nice. That, nice.
Know, I mean, in order to be able to harness the strengths in others and bring that out and have people mobilize towards a common purpose and to, you know, manage and navigate through levels of difference, right? You need someone who's decent. You need someone who cares about their team, who wants to bring out the best in others.
How does that difference from EQ?
Huh? EQ. So EQ is empathy.
How do they
right?
differ?
So we talk about the being empathetic, being able to communicate, right? Being able to understand and regulate your emotions to someone else's emotions. But you can also envision someone who's very smart, right? Who has the IQ.
Manipulative.
Very manipulative. Good. Exactly.
Right. Right. Okay.
Right.
And so okay. And that's where the DQ comes in. Got it. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. That makes sense.
That's right.
What would you have liked me to ask you?
So, you know, it's funny. I mean, we kind of ended up talking about this, but is, you know, what is FUQA doing around diversity and inclusion is, you know, there's also, you talked about, there's lots of talk in media around the MBA and the value of the MBA, but there's also a lot of, you know, great news about what's happening on the gender front, right? With many more business schools seeing increases in women. And so I'm really excited that at FUQA, you know, we as well are very excited about what's happening. I looked at all of our programs and across all of the degree programs, we're around 48% in terms of student representation. Our MMS,
nice.
53%. Our MQM program is 56%. Our global executive program is 47%. Our daytime MBA is 43%. And then our weekend executive MBA is 30%. And, you know, when I look at leadership, right, so I'm a big believer that community begets community. And so, you know, and on the admissions front, we're doing so much to try and encourage more women to think about and pursue their MBA and then making sure that they know that FUQA is a place that they can flourish. But once you get in here, you also have to be supported, right? And prospective women have to see that current students are really being able to make a mark and have an impact. And so when I look at our we have six sections in our daytime MBA program, and I'm really proud that this year, five of those six sections are led by women. When I look at our MBA Student Governance Association, the co-president for the past 2 years has been a woman. And so really true leadership at the top in terms of what they're able to do for their student, for their classmates and peers. We have a VP of diversity position on our Student Government Association that is held by a woman. And she actually is creating diversity representatives in each section as well. And she's a strong, strong advocate for people with unique abilities because she's blind. We have women, we just, our Center for the Advancement of Social Entrepreneurship and the KSI3, which is more of their social impact arm, they just graduated a cohort of about 20 women who with certificates who are focused on investing in social impact initiatives that affect women and girls, right? And, you know, we have a very strong association of women in business, and they have a very strong partnership with our male allies. They have over 100 male allies. You know, male students who are passionate about these issues. And so I'm really encouraged by a lot of what I'm seeing inside the community, in addition to what we're trying to do to draw more people. One of the things you mentioned scholarships, and that's huge. That's huge. And
it's
so
enormous.
Mm-hmm, we're a big supporter of the Forte Foundation. I'm a big believer in the work that they do. And we've seen a big increase. Well, we initiated a big, you know, make sure there's a big increase in the types of scholarships, the number of scholarships, Forte fellowships that we've given. And so when I look across our daytime MBA program and our executive MBA program, we have over 230 Forte fellows at FUQA.
Wow, that's a lot. Wow,
yeah,
that's a lot.
That's a lot. So we've really made a large commitment to ensuring that there are, you know, as few barriers as we possibly can, right, have in terms of ensuring that women feel like they belong here and have the opportunity and access.
Wonderful. Sherry, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Where can listeners and potential applicants learn more about Duke Fuqua's MBA program?
Visit our website. You can follow us on, follow me on Twitter, on LinkedIn. We have our Facebook group. But our website usually has a lot of our student blogs as well. And I can share with you those links specifically.
Okay, Linda. Great. Yeah, that'd be great. Yes. Wonderful. Well, we're definitely going to include links in the show notes at exhibit.com/335 to the site Sherry just mentioned, and I guess the one she's going to send me in a minute, as well as to related articles and show notes. Listener, I want to thank you, too, for joining Sherry Hubert and me for our 335th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a suggestion for you. Tell your MBA applicant friends. They'll thank you, and so do I. Thanks again for coming. This is Admissions Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.